a privilege to be able to speak on God's behalf. And so I always consider it an honor, a privilege to come and speak to the congregation. And I trust and pray that the lesson that I have prepared will help us to be better Christians, to be better equipped for eternity. Because the truth is that we are all heading for eternity. What we need to be sure of is that we are preparing for eternity in a way that we will enjoy eternity. Because eternity will either come as torture or bliss. And so tonight, the lesson that will be shared is one that will help us, I believe, to understand the devil. Right? And in understanding the devil, then, and recognizing that he is our enemy, then we can be prepared to resist him. And so, I have entitled the lesson, "For we are not ignorant of his schemes." We are not ignorant of his schemes. And the "his" here is referring to the devil, Lucifer, Satan. And the concept is derived from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. And here Paul is highlighting the fact that if we are ignorant of the schemes of Satan, then he will take advantage of us. He will outwit us. And he sort of joins in with Peter when he makes reference to Satan as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But let's hear 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11.
"Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices."
Yes, so we are not ignorant of the devices or the schemes of the devil. But then sometimes we might read something like this and say, well, am I really knowledgeable of his schemes? Is it possible that I am ignorant? Right, and if we are, then we are in trouble. Because when we do not know our enemy, then we cannot withstand him. And he will have the advantage over us. In fact, not only has Paul spoken about the devil in this way, and Peter, as referenced in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, but James also joins in, and in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, we are told that if we play with the devil, then he will draw near to us. Well, let's read it. I didn't quite put it that way, but that's the meaning. Read.
"Submit yourselves therefore to God."
Submit yourself therefore to God.
"Resist the devil."
Resist the devil.
"And he will flee."
So don't play around with the devil. Resist the devil.
"Resist the devil and he will flee from you."
And he will flee from you. But what if you do not resist the devil? What if you play with him? Then he's not going to flee, he's going to come drawing near to us. But read verse 7 again.
"Submit yourselves therefore to God."
Submit yourselves. Okay. Michelle, let me sample this one. Christine. Okay. So, we are told to submit ourselves. To who?
To God.
To God. So we see the word here, so. This one can't throw away. Submit ourselves. to God. So we are encouraged to submit ourselves to God. But something follows. Even as we submit ourselves to God, we need to
resist the devil.
Resist the devil. So we are seeing that we need to submit, but we also need to resist. So we submit to God, but we resist the devil. Now, leading up to what I want to talk about tonight, as we do this, and we are saying, the schemes of the devil are not strange. He has been doing it for a very long time. And I want to carry this study to look at a situation that was happening in the Old Testament. You know, we see an interaction between Moses and Pharaoh. You know, we are told that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. In this encounter, I want to put it to us that in Pharaoh, we see the devil at work. Pharaoh was in charge of Egypt. And I can still remember one of the first lessons I heard from Brother Blake. And he painted a lovely picture. Well, let me not say a lovely picture. A picture of Egypt. And that Egypt depicts sin. And so in a sense, when we speak of Pharaoh, we're saying that he is the head of sin. He's the one who orchestrates sin. You see, he was in charge of Egypt. And it's almost like Satan is in charge of sin. And so, what we see, and we're going to be seeing in Exodus chapter 8 and going through chapter 10, we're going to see some interaction between Moses, the man of God, the man who, albeit that he was timid and didn't want to speak out, that he submitted himself to God. But in submitting himself to God, he still had to interact with Satan. He had to interact with the captain of sin, the head of Egypt, Pharaoh. And we are going to be looking at some situations that presented itself to Moses. And what we're going to see is that Satan has not really come up with anything new. But if we are not careful, we don't really recognize what he's doing. And so, we come back to here. We ought to submit to God. But as we submit to God, we must resist Satan. Now, we will remember that Pharaoh was holding the children of God captive. And time again, through Moses, God would be saying, "Let my people go." But scheming Pharaoh, even when his back was against the wall, even when he was already defeated, was scheming. How can I still keep these children of Israel, children of God, under captivity? That was always working in his mind. I said something almost in passing, and many of us might not have heard it. Pharaoh had already lost. Amen. Are we conscious that with all the struggles that we are going through with Satan, he's already defeated? Christ has already won. And so when we are submitting to God, we are submitting to a victorious God. But even though we are submitting to God, Satan there is still scheming, trying to outwit us, trying to outsmart us, trying to devour us, because he's already lost and he wants us to be lost with him. So, Satan recognizes that there are many of us that will not go to hell because we are going to be in false religion. Because we have been exposed and we know. So he's not going to get us that way. Many of us, we are not going to go to hell because of fornication. Because we recognize that that is wrong, and you know, we put up some resistance, and that's not going to affect us with God's help. Many of us will never go to hell because of murder, because we have been conditioned to control our temper and so forth. And even if we end up killing somebody, it's not going to, that way to be killing them in a way that God will be displeased. Alright. I had to throw in that one. Yes, you know, something can happen and you have to kill somebody, you know, and God will not be displeased. But that's not my lesson. Alright? So, and some of us, it won't be because we're thief. Alright? Some of us, we don't get involved in people's business, so we won't get to go to hell because we gossip. So, Satan knows that he won't get all of us the very same way. Not true. So it comes a point when Satan will join in and say, submit. Submit. But in him saying submit, there is a but. And so we want to look at some of this interaction between Pharaoh and Moses. And we are going to see again and again and again and again, that's our 4 points to make, that Pharaoh actually said to Moses, go. Go. Go worship your God. Go serve your God. But there's always a but in it. Go, but. You know, in fact, if you wanted a short title for the lesson, it could be that. Go or submit, but. I'm going to put up a little thing here. All right, let's turn to Exodus. Chapter 8, and let's pick up at verse 24. You know, if time would have given us the chance, it would have been good to just read the whole story, but it's a long story with all the plagues and so forth that God would have sent, showing how serious he is about getting his people out of the land of Egypt. But we'll just pick up some of the encounters, because we remember that there are some 10 plagues at different points. Alright, so let's pick up at verse 24 of chapter 8.
And the Lord did so. Mm-hmm. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, mm-hmm. and into his servants' houses, mm-hmm. and in all the land of Egypt.
Yes.
The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies.
Mm-hmm. 24. That's verse 24?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 8, verse 24 and 25.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, mm-hmm. Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land.
All right. Read verse 25 again, for we must have missed something.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron.
And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron.
And said,
and Pharaoh said,
go ye.
Go ye.
Sacrifice
Pharaoh, to... Pharaoh is saying, go ye. And
sacrifice to your God in the land.
And sacrifice to your God. This is who we're saying is the antitype of Satan. He's saying, go ye and serve your God. But stay in the land. Stay in the land. So here it is, you know. Let's paint the picture. God has already won the victory. He's saying, serve me. Satan recognizes that he can't fight that. But he's saying, when you go, or when you submit to God, submit, but stay in the land. Right. Somebody saying, so Brother Webb, what's the big thing about staying in the land? Submit, but you're still going to stay in sin.
Right.
You're still going to stay in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
You're still going to be under the dictate of Pharaoh. Of Satan. Make the connection, Brother Webb. When we become Christians, it is important that we separate ourselves from the world. A lot of times we come into the fellowship. We come into the church. But we still want to stay in sin. We are saying that we are submitting. But guess what? We're not resisting. Because Satan says, all right, I realize I can't stop him from going to the church. But what? When him go into the church, I'm going to still hold him down here. I'm still going to let him stay in my land. You know, we need to separate ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. You see, we cannot submit to God and still stay in the presence of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17.
Wherefore, come out from among them.
Come out from among them.
And be separate.
And be separate.
Saith the Lord.
Who says so?
Saith the Lord.
The Lord says so. You know, we have persons who sometimes, and happening a lot, when you teach a person and they realize, gosh, you know, I must be baptized. I realize that I am in a denomination and they're teaching about sprinkling. And when you sit down and teach a person, you realize, wow, you know, baptism is important and you must be immersed. And they learn that truth. And then when they would have gone and get baptized, they want to go back into their denomination. They want to stay in the land. Sometimes we teach persons and they recognize that they need to become a part of the family of God. And they do get baptized. But when they leave, they are going back into an adulterous environment that cannot be condoned. You might recognize that sometimes you have to organize yourself. But you cannot, having submitted to God, continue to stay in sin.
That's right.
We cannot. We cannot. Yeah. Can we move on? So that was one encounter. We see another encounter just a few verses down. Pick up at verse 28.
And Pharaoh said, I will let you go. But let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness.
I want you to see. All right. So here is it, you know. When Satan said, go and serve your God, but stay in the land. God never going to put up with that at all.
Amen.
And so, he fell into some serious trouble. Alright? You know, you can't read the full story what happened after that. So the devil just gives up and says, I'm gonna lose the battle here. No, sir. He doesn't give up. He continues. Continue reading, brother.
That he may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness.
All right. So watch here now. So Moses, that made it very clear to him. Guess what? We're not going to serve not God, and we're not going to submit and stay in the land. We're not going to stay in any sin. And when Satan recognized that, he said, all right. I realize I'm not going to get you this way. Watch it now.
Only
you
shall not
can go and serve your God outside of the land.
Right.
You can go out away from sin. You can go out into the wilderness. That's what he said?
Yes.
He said anything else?
Only you shall not go very far.
But don't go too far. Don't go too far.
Entreat for me.
Say that last part again.
Only shall not go very far away. Entreat for me.
Oh, okay. So don't go too far. And so some of us, you know, we come out of denomination. We come out of a sinful environment. But guess what? We're very near to it still. And so we have to watch ourselves. Because when we submit to God, we need to make a clean break and remove ourselves from the influence of sin. You know, the story continued and eventually they left. And you know, they crossed the Red Sea, alright? And again, I remember Brother Blake's lesson, you know, where he was telling about there was nowhere for them to go and then the sea just, you know, open up and all of that. Now, we will recall, if we fast track a couple weeks and months into their journey, that when trouble and hunger and things start lick them say, boy, we want to go back to Egypt.
That's right.
So can you imagine,
right,
when you would have submitted to God, but you don't want to go too far.
Right.
I say, you come into Christianity and you expect Christianity to do all of these things for you, and God will help us. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And guess what? And a lie God will tell. When we do that, God will take care of us. Sometimes we don't realize how much he might take care of us, you know. But he's taking care of us. But that's another lesson again. Now, can you imagine that these persons were near? They left, but they didn't go too far. They were near. That's how easy it would be when the little trouble come to just go back. To just go back. You see, we need to recognize that God does not look favorable. And this is a pretty way of saying it. God does not look favorable on the person who goes back.
Amen.
Who backslides.
Amen.
It's not like God said, can they try, but they never make it. Okay, probably sometime again you'll come. That's not the picture we get, you know.
Amen.
Should we go to Peter? Alright, since I don't want to keep you too long, I'm not going to. Can I tell you about Peter? You know some ways that Peter showed how God looked at things. Get a nicer one first. The pig,
yeah.
You wash off the pig.
Right.
All right. How about you? Alright, let me start even milder than that. Alright, my car was very dirty yesterday. Alright, never get a chance. So wash it last night. This morning I get up early and I wash it. Shine him up. Alright. It's a rainfall and it, you know, it messed up again. Alright. But an illustration is made about a pig.
That's
a
right.
Hog.
That's right.
That you wash off the hog and, you know, when you some pigs, you know, them really look shiny and pretty when they're clean, you know, white.
Yes.
Yeah.
and you wash the feet and you pick clean. And then as you turn your back, they look for the muck. And then I see the muck and they go lean upon it. And they go in there and they dig and they finish with the white, pretty pig. Just when you look messy, in fact, it's like it's almost like he would be spiting you. Because it's like him say, "No one dirtier than how me did look first." That's how God looks and paints the person who backslides. So we don't want to stay near, but we don't want to go too far. And then we come back. But here the graphic one now. God says, when we become Christians and turn back, it's like a dog vomit. And then go back and eat it. We don't want God to look at for me like that. But that is the unfavorable way that God views us. So we can't allow ourselves to be in a situation where as if a trouble catches us. We can't just look and say, well, let me go back. And guess what? We have a roaring lion, a scheming devil, when he does put something in your way to make you turn back. So don't stay too near. Break anything that is going to affect you. Break away from it. Make a clean break. Don't make it have any influence over you. So, the story continues, you know. Did Moses yield to this? Did he just go into the wilderness and say, well, we not go too far? No. If we read the details, more play come when Pharaoh carry them argument there. Right? Remember, you know, he has already lost. I just try my triathlete. So he has tried to stay in the land, realize, boy, this person who are trying to get, this is not going to hold him. I have a little story for you. It kept some. Alright? But that might not have caught you. Might not have. When he said, don't go too far, some of us don't go too far. But some of us will go far. Does the devil give up? No, sir. All right. Let's fast track. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 24. Pick up there.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
All right. Leave your possession. So I'm saying, submit, man. Don't stay in the land. Go far. But leave your possession. I messed up there so a while ago. Alright. You can rewind. Alright, I looked at the wrong part of my outline a while ago. So you get a preview for the next one. Alright. Leave your possession. Alright. Alright. Here he was saying, don't take others. Alright, read that again for me, brother. 24.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed.
All right.
Let your little ones also go with you.
All right. So yeah, that was all right. So it actually said, leave your flock and your herd and whatever. All right. But I want to talk about this part first. Don't take who? All right. Yard verse. Okay. Stop. Step up. Verse 8. Right, go back up to verse 8.
And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God.
Yeah.
But who are they that shall go?
All right. Okay. Let me relate this and then we can catch up. All right. So here it is that he's saying, leave, go far. But he's saying, boy, we need to go.
And Pharaoh says, who?
That's right.
Who is to know? And he's going to relate and say, well, Satan, I am going to submit to the Lord. And when I submit to the Lord, and not just me alone going. When I submit to the Lord, I'm going to take my parents, the older people. I'm going to take the children. I'm going to take others. And so what we are seeing is that when we submit to God, it is not just about going, it's not just about us. Sometimes we have a good way of being solitary followers.
That's right.
Solitary followers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I am serving God.
Uh-huh.
And my friends, my co-workers,
uh-huh.
the persons who I associate with, don't have a clue that I'm a Christian. I have become a Christian. My parents don't know that I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows.
Uh-huh.
You know that's a scheme of the devil?
That's right.
Because being a Christian means that we ought to be bringing others.
Yeah.
We can't just save ourselves. We can't just save ourselves. Alright? Alright. Come. Alright, so we catch back bearings now. Pick up on verse 8 and let's read down to about verse 11.
And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh.
Yes.
And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
But who are they that shall go?
All right, so who, when you go serve your God, if you are alone, are you going to bring some other people with you? Who going to go with you? And he says what?
And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old.
When I decide as a child of God to serve God, to submit to him, I am going to
go with our young and with our old.
I'm going to bring the young persons who I have influence over. Young people that I have influence over. People who I can help to get to come to Sunday school and things like that. I'm going to bring them. Who else? The young.
And with our old.
I'm going to bring the old. So those persons who I can influence. And my parents. Because guess what? While I live my Christian life here on earth, I recognize that that's not the end of it.
Amen.
When time finish, eternity going to start.
Amen.
And guess what? I want my parents to be in heaven too.
Amen.
And so, I'm going to, in submitting, I'm going to be trying to influence those persons. Read.
With all, with our sons and with our daughters.
Our sons. Our daughters, so everybody that I can influence, all who I have influence over, I am going to try to bring them. Would that include that at work as a supervisor, that whatever influence I have in that capacity, that I should use that to help to bring persons to Christ?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
At school,
amen.
I'm in a peer group and we're talking about things. Should I use that opportunity to influence my peers to Christ? Yes.
Amen.
Sometimes the devil recognizes that he can keep us in the land. He can't make us be near. What him say? Okay, make him go on.
Right.
But make him think say it's just him alone.
Uh-huh.
And let him not evangelize at all.
Right.
Let him not try to use his influence.
That's
at
right.
all. That's a scheme of the devil.
Amen.
Let's watch for it.
Amen.
Sometimes we allow the devil to tell us to go it alone. You know, it catch many of us there, sir.
That's right.
We don't have any influence. In fact, sometimes the only time we have some semblance of Christianity about us is when we come here.
That's right.
And Satan, they're killing teeth and say, yeah, man. We convince him. Come church all the time.
Uh-huh.
But don't influence nobody outside.
That's right.
and him said, catch you. Catch you. That's a scheme of the devil. All right, we can go back to verse 24.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you.
All right, okay. So, let me say, all right. Do your influence thing. You know, influence those around you, man. Let them come. All right, that's good. But leave your what? Your herd.
Then let your flocks and your herds be stayed.
Your flock and your herd. That's your possession now, you know. Make those stay, man. Invite enough people to church. But you see your money?
That's right.
No, man. I give the church that, man. If, when you give the church what you are supposed to give the church are going can do more things. Hold on to that money, man. Where are you going to give the church that for? Then all of a sudden, the church, like here, might move from a radio program to a television program. They will say, no, man, don't do that. All your possession, leave that. We must be ready to bring our cattle to God. We must be ready to bring our cattle to God. And somebody said, what is my cattle? It includes your money.
Amen.
It includes your talent.
Amen.
You know, some of us really don't have no money. So we don't really have much money. Alright? We're getting benefits from other people being kind to us. That's true. Some of us not working. But some of us have some abilities. See?
Amen.
Some talents.
Amen.
That if we ever apply that to the church, even when you don't have any money, the church can do so much more things.
That's right.
I know some persons, when I think them have no whole heap of education, but you see when them stop and talk to somebody and encourage them to come to worship, oh man.
Amen.
I'll do a PhD in here. Can convince and influence people like that. That's a talent, you know. Some persons, when they talk to you, you know, you just talk freely. You know, like things like counseling and things like that. You know, a lot of you require no PhD and things like that to do active counseling. But you know, some lay counselors are persons who sometimes don't even have any type of training in counseling, but they can talk to a person.
Amen.
And when you finish talking to that person,
amen,
all of their problems seem to have gone. Those are talents that can be used.
Amen.
Sometimes we ball. Boy, we don't have any job. I can't. You know, one of the advantages of not having a job, another thing, telling people not to have jobs. But, you know, when you don't have a job, you know what? You have a whole lot of time.
Amen.
My gosh.
Amen.
Time. When you have time, and you can go and use that for God.
Amen.
A whole heap of things can happen, you know?
Amen.
A whole lot of things.
Amen.
The point. We must be prepared to leave our possession. But sometimes the devil is saying to us, go serve God. But leave your possession. We can't leave our money, our talent, our time in Egypt and say that we are submitting to God. Can I say that again?
Amen.
We cannot leave our money, our time, and our talent in Egypt. We can't be using all of our time and energy in sin, promoting non-spiritual things, all our energies being there, all our talents, all our money going into that, and then
say that we are truly submitting to Almighty God. It doesn't add up. Alright, I'm closing now. One of my favorite passages is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But, you know what that is saying? Paul is saying that we must live a life that is in full submission to God. And God does not want anything less than that. It's no negotiation. They say, we don't resist the devil. So when we say, it is not I but Christ liveth in me, it means that he has our everything. So this is where God expects us to be. But sometimes, you know, we start negotiate with the devil. Alright? This is where we ought to be. We're up there. But he doesn't even start here and start walk down, you know. He start here. Start, the art of negotiation. The art of negotiation, you know, is, you know, you try to start a meet in the middle. You know, so sometimes, you know, you're doing salary negotiation. You really know that you are right with 8%. Alright? But you say, boy, after 10. So that when the negotiation starts, it balances down. Right? So the devil, he's willing to catch you anywhere along here.
That's right. That's right.
But he starts way down here. Alright? And then build you up. Right? So the thing is, we have to know that Satan has no new scheme.
Amen.
Amen. Right? These are the ways that he's trying to get us. And so, we are saying, he's saying to us, go, but.
Uh-huh.
Submit, but.
Uh-huh.
But we are not to be ignorant of his schemes.
That's right.
Because when we are knowledgeable of his schemes, then we can truly resist him. I'm going to leave the lesson with you. It is my hope that it would have brought some awareness to let us realize that the devil is not joking. He's a schemer. He's trying to outwit us. He's trying to jinnal us. But we need to resist him. We invite the song leader to come. This office.